He said, there's no hope for you. And just looked at me.
And of course, everybody else that was in that class was like, oh, and he's the teacher. Just kind of annoyed him even more. I honestly don't even remember what else happened after that. I just remember that he kind of, you know, I kind of paused because he caught me by surprise. What he said, he said, there's no hope for you. And all I remember is that I was upset and I told my mom. And if y'all have never seen an angry Salvadorian woman, it's an amazing sight to see. And she was mad. She was upset and she went and she spoke with him. And I think she wanted to tear him, you know, just to pieces. She didn't. She could have, but she didn't. And she was just upset. Now, you know, he wasn't right. You know, he definitely wasn't right as a mature brother in the faith, as the teacher who's supposed to be encouraging to tell me that. Now, I know he spoke out of anger. I know he spoke out of, you know, maybe just not wise enough. But he said, there's no hope for you. You know, this teacher wasn't right in what he told me. You know, yes, I was immature. Yes, I was being, you know, a little punk. I was being disrespectful. I wasn't, you know, paying attention. I was distracting everyone. I was just an immature teenager. I was an annoying 15-year-old. And so he caught me in a moment, I guess, of immaturity and just called me out on it. But the reason I share that is because there's a lot of you guys in here, or a lot of you, just not young people, but older people in here, that maybe at some point in your life, like even some of the things my wife's told me that, you know, she's heard from her family that they used to tell her is like, sometimes you'll hear people tell you, there's no hope for you. You're too immature. You're too young. You're too dumb. You're not smart enough. You don't know enough. There's no hope for you. Like, there's, what can you do? You're too young, you're too little, you know, you didn't graduate, you're an immigrant, you're Hispanic, like, there's no hope for you, like, you can't do nothing. Like, what can you do? Look at your situation, you're poor, you're broke. Sometimes you hear that from your family. Some of y'all might have heard it from your parents. Some of y'all might have heard it from church leaders, like I did that day. There's no hope for you. Look at you. Look at your clothes. Look at the way you're acting. You're immature. Like, what can you do? It's like, it's basically he was telling me there's nothing else we can do for you. There's no one can help you. You the way you act, the way you know, the way you're just being disrespectful. Like, what are you ever going to accomplish? There's no hope for you. You're not smart enough. You're too big. You're too this. You're too that. You're too small. And on with so much discouragement. These people told you some of these things and have limited you because of some dumb reason, like your age, like your abilities, your economical status, your education. I don't have a college degree. Maybe some of y'all didn't know. I don't have a college degree. You're not too, you can fill in the blank to do something, especially when it's doing something that's going to glorify God. And why do I share this with you is because if I would have believed that teacher, if I would have believed that comment, because think about it, I don't remember nothing else that was said. All I remember is that teacher that came up to me, looked at me straight in the face and said, there's no hope for you. That's what I remember. That's what stuck in my head. I remember the negative comment that he gave me. He said, there's no hope for you. But see, if I would have believed him, if I would have said, man, like, for real, like, there is no hope for me. Because look, I mean, just look. I mean, if I really would have thought about who I was at that moment, I would have been like, I'm not capable of doing anything. I'm not capable of doing certain things. If I would have believed him, if I would have believed that there's no hope for me, I wouldn't be preaching today. If I would have believed that there's no hope for me, I wouldn't be married today. I wouldn't be a father today. I wouldn't be a leader today. I wouldn't be any of those things because I would have believed that there's no hope for me. But see, what I decided to do, even though I was immature and even though I was a bit annoying, is that I decided to not believe this teacher and to believe God and to let him decide what he had to say about my life and not what a human being had to say about my life. Go to Genesis 37. Did that PowerPoint work? Ever work? You guys can put it up. We ain't gotta hide it from the world. I had a nicer design, but you know, Mac and Microsoft, they don't really get along, you know? And so I got rid of my iPad and I got this Surface Pro, Surface Pro 3, just you got one up. And I did this nice little design and I sent it. And the computer back there is a Mac hater, you know, and so it's a Microsoft hater, and so it didn't look right. But anyway, yeah, just go to Genesis 37. And the series we're going to be talking about this month, all October, is called They Were Young Too. They were young too. They were young people too. And today who we're going to talk about is Joseph. See, many of y'all don't know that Joseph was 17 when God first started calling him. Go to Genesis 37, verses 2, and I'm going to read on from there. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. Now check this out. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. He said, "Listen to my dream, guys." He said, "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up. And your bundles, they gathered around and bowed before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon, Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I had another dream," he said. "The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Soon after this, Joseph's brother went to pasture his father's flocks in Shechem. When they had been gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, "Your brothers are pasturing the sheep at Shechem. Get ready and I will send you to them." So his brothers left to go pasture. And then Joseph said, "I'm ready." And then Jacob says, "Go and see your brothers and the flocks. How they're getting along," Jacob said. "Then come and bring me a report." Why do I read that? Because I want y'all to get an idea of who Joseph is. And so Joseph right now is a 17-year-old teenager. He's the favorite of his father. He's kind of a little boastful, you know, talking about his dreams and saying things like that and you know, how they're going to bow to him and everything. And he's a tattletaler, okay? He brings bad reports to his dad about what they're doing. And then that's why his dad's like, "Go see what your brother's doing and bring me a report. You know, I want to know what they're doing." Now, when we keep reading the story of Joseph, we see that his brothers hate him so much. They hate him so much that they end up deciding to kill him, okay? And when you go to verse 18, it says, "When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him at a distance. And as they approached, they made plans to kill him." Now, how much do you have to hate someone, especially your brother, to want to kill them? How many of y'all got brothers and sisters? Have they ever annoyed you? Have you ever gotten to the point where you're like, "I'm going to kill this fool. I'm going to catch them in their sleep and just put the pillow and hold the pillow on them until they're not breathing anymore." Don't lie. So the brothers coming and they see him and they're like, "Oh
man, here comes that dreamer. Here comes that spoiled brat, that favorite. They say, come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns, or to one of the holes. And he says, we can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we will see what becomes of his dreams. They say, you know, we'll kill him and then we'll lie to our dad. Story goes on. They end up not killing Joseph because they feel like we're not going to make anything of it. So instead of us killing him, let's sell the dude. You know, let's sell him because we can make some money off of him. They end up selling Joseph. And when you go to Genesis 39, it says that when Joseph was taken to Egypt. So now we're seeing Joseph, right? He's 17. He's spoiled. He's this and that. He gets sold by his brother to slaves. He ends up in Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders. He was purchased by this man named Potiphar, who was an Egyptian officer. And Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So Potiphar is someone of high importance. Now check this out. 39, if you can listen. 39 verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph. That's a key word. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served him in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar. So he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, you know, and it flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administration, responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't have to worry about anything. Now it says Joseph was a very handsome man and well-built young man like Carlos Melgar. Maybe that's just my version. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. She said, come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. He says, no one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Now we see, though, that later, Potiphar's wife, because, you know, she's a freak and she wants to sleep with him. She ends up taking off his robe and he ends up running out. Now, I don't know if it was completely naked, but he runs out without his robe. She ends up saying that he tried to rape her. So Joseph ends up in prison. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. But this is key. I want y'all to listen. And there he remained. But check this out. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. How are you going to be a prisoner in charge of all the other prisoners? The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. I don't know if y'all paying attention to the Lord was with Joseph. You keep reading Joseph, verse chapter 40. These two prisoners come in. They end up having these dreams. And Joseph says, they tell him, you know, and they reply, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. And guess what Joseph says? He says, interpreting dreams is God's business. Joseph replied, go ahead and tell me your dreams. I want y'all to hear these key words. In Genesis 41, we see that Pharaoh says to Joseph later on, after Joseph's been in prison, the Pharaoh of Egypt has this dream. And no one can interpret the dream that Pharaoh has. But one of the prisoners that had been in jail with Joseph
whose dream had been interpreted by Joseph, tells the Pharaoh, he's like, man, you know what? I was in prison with this dude named Joseph, with this Hebrew man, and he interpreted my dream. He's like, I'm sure he can interpret your dream. So Pharaoh calls him, and Joseph reveals the dream and tells the Pharaoh what his dream means. The Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you clearly, no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. And guess what? Pharaoh makes Joseph, he says, you will be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, as Pharaoh, sitting on my throne, will have a higher rank than yours. Basically, it was Pharaoh and Joseph. Think about it, though, from where we started in this story. And Pharaoh makes him in charge of all these things. But before, and actually I wanted to make this clear, before he interprets the dream of the Pharaoh, Joseph tells him, it is beyond my power to do this. He says, but God can tell you what it means, so be at ease. I really want y'all to get this glimpse, and I really want y'all this picture, because I really want you guys to compare yourselves or to put yourselves in the shoes of Joseph. When we first start to read about Joseph, he's a 17-year-old, annoying, bratty kid. He's telling his dreams. He doesn't even know the meaning of his dreams, but he's telling his brothers, and his father's like, oh yeah, you know, and I was, you know, kind of in the middle of everything, and y'all were bowing down to me. Now, what if I just told y'all that right now? Be like, oh yeah, hey, I just want to let y'all know I had a dream, and all of you guys just started worshiping me. Y'all bowed down to me, you know, and that kind of gave me like this reverence, like, oh, you know, that's Carlos. We're all going to bow to him. And every time we see him, we're going to kiss his hand. You got exactly the reaction. You guys are, yeah, right, whatever. Okay, wash your hands. But just think about it. You know, he's 17 years old. He's 17 years old saying these things. You know, he's a bit annoying. He shares this dream, which he doesn't even know. He's kind of boastful. He's prideful. He's kind of spoiled, you know, by his dad. His dad makes him this cute little, you know, little outfit. And he's, like, walking around with his little outfit. Like, yeah, I'm the favorite. My dad made me this. You know, y'all like me. Y'all hate me, whatever. Y'all haters. And he's, like, just kind of, you know, just kind of being spoiled. He's immature in his ways. Now, if this is all we knew about Joseph, if this is all we knew about who Joseph was, we can ask ourselves, how can God ever use someone like that? If we saw that, if all we knew about Joseph was that he was spoiled and that he was bratty and that he was a tattleteller, we can say to Joseph, there is no hope for you, Joseph. Just like that Sunday school teacher told me, there's no hope for you, Carlos. There's no hope for you. You're a punk kid. You're a wannabe. You're immature. You're 15 years old. You'll never amount to nothing. You're not smart enough. You're stupid. You're immature in your ways. See, some of you guys have heard that. Some of you guys have heard that over and over throughout your lives. Some of you guys have heard that from your mom, from your dad. Some of you guys have heard that from teachers. If that's all we knew about Joseph, we would have said, Joseph, there's no hope for you. We can say he will never amount to nothing. He is too immature. He is too spoiled. He is too prideful. He's too young. We see that Joseph is hated by his own brothers. They want to kill him. They end up selling him. He ends up in a foreign country where he doesn't know the culture or traditions. So guess what he becomes now? He's an immigrant. You'll never amount to nothing in this country because you're an immigrant. You don't know the language. You don't know the culture. You're an immigrant. And not only was he an immigrant in Egypt, he was a slave in Egypt. And not only was he a slave, but Egyptians didn't like Hebrew people that much. That'd be like a Salvadorian living in Mexico. Or a Mexican living in El Salvador. You know, you might find some people you get along with, but other people might, you know, kind of hate on you some. Unfortunately, that's how it would be. And so he's not only this 17-year-old spoiled kid, but he's an immigrant, he's a slave, and he's hated by Egyptians. He's probably confused, he's scared, he's emotionally hurt. Because imagine, think about it, your brother's selling you, wanting to kill you. And so we see all these negative characteristics about Joseph. We can see all the negative things that are happening to him. And we can ask ourselves, how can God ever use someone like that? Now think about it. Think about your own life. How can God ever use someone like me? I thought about that. How can God ever use someone like me? A 15-year-old kid who loves hip-hop, who dresses in baggy clothes, who talks with a slang, who, you know, how can God ever use me? Someone who gets a fade, who's bald-headed, who people say, man, you look like a gangster, you look like a thug, you look like a wannabe, you're not going to amount to nothing. And then this teacher, my Sunday school teacher, looks at me because of my immaturity, and he says, there's no hope for you. So you think about it. So I'm thinking about, like, man, if I believe this cat, if I believe this dude that's telling me all this, that I won't never amount to nothing, he's human. He makes mistakes. Why would I want to believe him? And we see all these negative characteristics. We see all these negative things happening to Joseph. He's too prideful. He's a prisoner, considered a sex offender, if you really think about it, because his wife, the Potiphar's wife, accused him of being, of wanting to rape him, a raper. So if you think about it, he was considered some type of sex offender. Now, how can he ever amount to anything? You're a criminal, bro. You're a criminal. You're a prisoner. How can you ever amount to anything? He's too young and immature to understand God's plans. Somebody's probably told you that. Some of you young ones in here. Oh, you man, you're 14, 15. Like you don't understand nothing about life yet and about God's word. Like, we can't use you. You're too young. Everything is going against Joseph. Nothing right seems to be happening to his life. But check this out. This is the problem when we think about, when we start to criticize or judge people because of their age. And not only us criticizing others or others criticizing us. Sometimes we even put ourselves down. Sometimes we even start to doubt ourselves. But that's the problem. When we think about this, let me tell y'all what the problem is. That the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. See, if you think that negative way, you have a problem, because the thing is, yeah, Joseph had all these things going against him. Yeah, he was immature. Yeah, he was 17 years old. Yeah, he had all these issues. He was a prisoner and all these things. But guess what? The Lord was with him. God was with Joseph. Joseph had faith in God. Because when, and you know he had faith in God, because when he tells those guys about the dreams, he says, I can't do nothing about that, but the Lord can. He tells Pharaoh, I can't give you the answer to those dreams, but the Lord can. He had faith in God. Joseph knew God. Joseph trusted God. Yes, Joseph was all these other things, and yes, Joseph was going through all these hard and complicated struggles, but the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph knew that God was with him, and so he trusted God. No matter what situation Joseph was going through, no matter how immature or young people thought Joseph was, Joseph knew that he could trust God because the Lord was with him. Joseph was a man of faith. Joseph was a man that trusted God with his life. Joseph was a man that did not doubt God. Joseph was a man that was more concerned about what God thought about him than about what people thought about him. Did you catch that? Joseph was more concerned about what God thought about his life than what men and women thought about his life. Joseph was a man that decided to believe God and not to believe what others believed about him. He did not believe in the limitations that others had placed on him because he knew that God had no limitations. Amen. See, God don't have no limitations, but sometimes we limit ourselves and other people limit you. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. They try to limit me. That Sunday school teacher tried to limit me. He tried to put me down. He tried to shut me off. He tried to discourage me. He said, there's no hope for you. Because what he was looking at was the outer surface. He didn't look and say, you know what? There's a lot of potential in you. Because I can see you're a leader because you're being a distraction and everybody else is looking at you, Carlos. He didn't see the leadership and he didn't see the potential in me. He just saw my immaturity. And he said, there's no hope for you. Do you believe, let me ask you this, do you believe in the limitations others place on you? Do you believe others when they say, you are too young to do something for God? Do you believe when people say that you can't do something because you don't know enough about the Bible or about life? Do you believe them? Do you believe people when they tell you that you're too dumb to do something? Do you believe people when they say you're just an immigrant who won't amount to anything in this country? Best case scenario is that you will have your own yard company. Is that all you can be? Do you believe people when they limit you that way? Or do you believe that God can use you regardless of your imperfections, regardless of the limitations that you put on yourself or that others put on you? Do you believe them or do you believe God? Who do you believe? Who do you trust? Who do you put your faith in? Do you believe and put your trust and faith on that person that tells you there's nothing for you, that you don't amount to nothing? Or do you believe the God who created the universe, who created the world and says, I could use you? If I would have believed that Sunday school teacher, I would not be where I am today. I would have trusted what he said and not what God says. Yes, I was 15 years old. Yes, I was immature. Yes, I was an annoying teen. I didn't know a lot about the Bible. I was a little rebellious, very prideful, and I wasn't the smartest kid in school, okay? I had to take summer classes a few times, okay? But if I would have believed that man instead of God, I would have made a big mistake. Joseph had done the same thing thousands of years before I was born. His brothers tried to take that hope from him. His brothers hated him. They tried to tell him, you won't amount to nothing. You're just a spoiled, bratty kid, a 17-year-old that won't amount to anything. They tried to take that away from him. But God was with Joseph. He could have easily allowed his time in prison to take that away from him once again, but the Lord was with him. Joseph did not allow people and circumstances to have control over his life. So, we can see Joseph's life, and we can see Joseph going through, I didn't even see that until right now. We can see that We can see that Joseph's life because we can read about it. And see, a lot of us know Joseph because of this beautiful little, you know, coat he had made, right? Oh, you know, his dad made him a nice coat. That's all we know about Joseph. But when you really start to investigate about Joseph, he doesn't make a great impression at the beginning. We just kind of read through that. But when you really start to think about it, Joseph was someone who was really immature, but God decided to use him. And I'm not just talking about immaturity physically. I'm not just talking about you're 12, you're 13, 14 years old. I'm talking about spiritually immature. I'm talking about spiritual immaturity. God can still use you because it's not about you. See, that's the beautiful thing about it. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's what he can do through you. It's not about your abilities. Because see, let me tell you this. You are limited. You are limited. I am limited. I'm human. I have limitations. So in a sense, my Sunday school teacher that said there's no hope for you, he was right. There's nothing in this world that can give me hope. The only thing that was able to give me that hope was Jesus Christ. I do have limitations. You have limitations. Your abilities are minimal. My abilities go a certain distance, and that's it. So yes, we are limited. Yes, we are human. Yes, we live in this fleshly body. But see, this is the thing. Jesus told his disciples, with humans, it is impossible, but with God, it's possible. With God, it's funny because JoJo was up here when y'all said that. When we were praying, actually. We're praying and you said, you know, and it was funny because she was praying and she said, and she doesn't know this, but when she was praying, she said, you know, God, with you, everything is possible. And she didn't know what I was going to preach about today. But see, that's the thing, that some people will limit you. Yeah, you're 15. Yeah, you're 6. Yeah, you got limitations. You got limitations. But see, there's no limitations with God. So if God has called you for something, remember that you will be able to do whatever he has called you to do. Not because you have the power, but because he's all powerful. Don't allow yourself, though, to be influenced by negative comments. You can't. You're too young, you're too old, you're not too smart, you don't know enough, you're immature, you're too weak, you're too slow, you're too small, you're too big, you're this, you're that. Don't let those comments limit God and what he can do through you. God can do what humans believe is impossible. That's why you got so many atheist people and all these people that say, well, that's impossible. There has to be some scientific reason for it. Like, the idea of God seems impossible. Yeah, that's the point. That's the point. The Bible says that those that say that there is no God are fools in their hearts. Yeah, fool. It is impossible, but he's God. That's the point. That's the point. He's God. It is impossible for us, but not for him. It doesn't matter if you're an immigrant or a Hispanic, young, old, poor, disabled. God can use you, and he wants to use you. You're not too young to start a cell group. You're not too dumb to teach Sunday school or be a leader here at church. You're not too immature to help and volunteer. You're not just this. You're more than just a kid or a teenager. You're a child of the Most High God. God can use you no matter who you are and what your situation is, because he is God. Jesus Christ was an immigrant. He left his home to come to a different place, to an earth where people didn't want him. Jesus Christ was 12 years old when he was in there getting it in with these religious leaders in the synagogue. How many of y'all 12 years old in here? You imagine someone their age just getting it, debating with religious leaders, teaching religious leaders, a 12-year-old. See, he was young too. He went through some struggles too, but the Father was with him, just like the Lord was with Joseph. Jesus was not influenced by the comments people made of him. He was not concerned about what others said about him. He was concerned about doing the will of his Father. He knew that all things were possible with God because he is God. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe these haters when they tell you that you're too young. God can use you at any age. Don't believe these haters when they tell you that you don't know enough. Because God can teach you. God can use you at any educational or spiritual level that he chooses. Don't believe these haters when they tell you you're just an immigrant that won't amount to anything in this country. God used Joseph in Egypt. God wants to use you in this church. He wants to use you in this city. He wants to use you in this country, and he wants to use you in this world. Why? Because he's already given us something to do. He's already called us to do something great. And you know what that is? It starts with great. The Great Commission. He's already given us something great to do. The Great Commission. He doesn't say, if you're 15 years old, he doesn't say, if you're 45 years old, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say, if you're 58 years old, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say, if you've been a Christian for 30 years, go and make disciples of all nations. He doesn't say, if you've known Jesus Christ or you've gone to church your whole life and you're 18 and up, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. That's it. He didn't say you got a certain age. God's already called you to do something great. Do it. Why? Because he's with you. And it's crazy because not thinking about it, on that same verse, he tells them, he goes, go because I am with you to the end of the earth, to the end of times. He's with you. If we are his children, God is with us. And who and what can be against us? If we are his children, God is with us. So believe that and have faith in your Father. Don't let these haters get to you when they tell you that you're too this or you're too that. Believe God and believe in what he can do through you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I pray, Lord, that you would start to change hearts and minds at this moment. That those in here that have been told that in their life, you're too dumb, you're not smart, you won't ever amount to nothing, there's no hope for you. I pray, Lord, that you would take away all those negative comments and that they would fill them, Lord, with your word, knowing that with you everything is possible. That yes, Lord, we are limited. Yes, Lord, we do have limitations because we're humans. But Father, there's nothing impossible with you. And you can do great and amazing things through us. No matter what our age, no matter how long we've been believers, you can still use us, Father. And we believe that. We believe that, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, because you continuously are using us to bring you glory. In your Son's name we pray, in Jesus Christ, amen.